You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. In Play Radio, from a 40-20 to winners aplenty. We've got it covered.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Rugby League podcast. It's Challenge Cup semi-final weekend. My name is Mark Walton, and in the absence of Mark Wilson, we've drafted in another Mark. It's Mark Lightfoot from William Hill Trading. How are you, Mark?
Morning, Mark. Yeah, good, thanks.
Yeah, apparently you don't have to be called Mark to be in this podcast, but it does help.
I say all the best. All the Marks know.
Yeah. Looking forward to the Challenge Cup weekend?
Yeah, there should be two crackers. I mean, two great games. The first one, the Leeds Saints game, you know, they're probably the best two teams in the comp at the moment. And the other game, Warrington, who were flying as well in recent weeks, and Hull KR, who really are going to throw the kitchen sink at it, as that's their season in a nutshell now. So
yeah, when the draw came out, you'd think that Leeds and Saints were the two that wanted to avoid each other. So that gave us a big semi-final on the Friday evening when they were drawn together. No easy games in the Challenge Cup when you get to the semi-finals, but Warrington will be probably quietly pleased with Hull KR, won't they?
Yeah, I would think so. That would have been the one that the other three all wanted to draw, I guess. I mean, Hull KR have proved that they can knock off the big teams this year, but they've had a little bit of trouble in recent weeks. Not in great form in the last few games. So Warrington will be pleased enough with the draw, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, it's on BBC as well this weekend, so maybe attract a different kind of audience. And the people that don't follow Super League, they've got a game on Friday evening under the floodlights, which... any people that don't follow rugby league, that'll be something different for them as well, won't it?
It's a real showcase for the sport, this Friday night game under the lights at Warrington, the Leeds Saints game. It really should attract a good audience, and hopefully the game will produce to really attract people back to rugby league, because that's what the game's all about, you know, building the audience. And they couldn't have a better match to see, really, a more mouth-watering prospect than Leeds and Saints on a Friday night.
Yeah. Should be great. Let's get stuck into that game then. Leeds take on Saints at the Halliwell Jones on Friday evening. It's an 8 p.m. kickoff. The Leeds Rhinos are 4-6. The draw is 18-1. St Helens are 6-5. Leeds minus 2 on the handicap at 10-11. The tie is 16-1, and St Helens plus those two is also 10-11. Just a bit of team news before we start. Leeds are without Stevie Ward, but it looks like Joel Moon's going to return. James Roby's fit for St Helens. That looks significant. He's in the squad in the place of Lewis Charnock, but still no John Wilkin for them. So that's a significant absence. Leeds almost at full strength, and we've seen this season when they're at full strength, they're a very hard side to beat.
They will be very hard to beat. I mean, Stevie Ward's had a good season, a real good prospect for the future, but they should be able to overcome that with the quality that they have in the ranks. Saints, obviously, if Roby had not been playing, it would have been a totally different handicap, I would say, but Roby back in the side. They'll be tough. They'll be really tough. They're playing well, and they have a lot of quality, especially up front. Roby and the other front players, the props, McCarthy, Scarsbrook and Walmsley, they'll really throw it down to Leeds early on, I would think. But if Leeds can get the offload game going, which they tend to like to do, be off the cuff, a lot of plays off the cuff and a lot of offloads, then they will find it difficult. Saints will find it difficult to handle Leeds, I would think. And the two meetings between the teams previously this year would tend to back that up as well.
Yeah, I was going to move on to that next, because Leeds finished top of the Super League as it stands when they split up into the Super 8s and so on. They were only a point ahead of Saints, so you'd think there's not really much between them. But the two meetings this season, Leeds won 41-16 at Langtree Park and 46-18 at Headingley. They've done a number on Saints this year.
They really have. I mean, and there's two ways you can interpret that information, really. You could either say that Saints will be sort of doubly motivated to avenge those two defeats, and Kieran Cunningham will be sort of trying to drill that into the players, without a doubt. But for me, the margin of those two victories, and Leeds won them both with a little bit in hand, really, to be honest. Saints were poor in both games, don't get it wrong, but Leeds were excellent. And I think that Brian McDermott will be saying to the players, look, this is what we can do against this team. If we can repeat those kind of performances, we should be at Wembley.
So. Yeah. Saints have improved in recent weeks. Cunningham said in recent weeks he hasn't been happy with performances, even though they've been winning games. Last couple of weeks, it's stepped up a little bit, hasn't it?
It has, and that's probably on the back of that defeat, the manner of that defeat at Headingley, where Cunningham was embarrassed, to be honest. And after that, Saints have significantly improved. They have a lot of quality all over the field. I mean, they might not have the big names that Leeds have in the sort of three-quarter line, but the two key areas for Saints in the game, I think, as I've mentioned now, are the front three, Roby and the props, and probably the two halves as well, Walsh and Travis Burns, who seem to be developing a better understanding week on week now. And if Saints are going to win the game or trouble Leeds, they'll have to win the forward battle first and foremost, and then get some good ball out to those two halves to sort of dictate things from there.
Yeah, I must admit I'm leaning quite strongly towards Leeds. It's nothing to do with being a Leeds lad. It's just the record in the Challenge Cup as well. That obviously the current holders, they've been to this would be the fifth time they've reached the final in 6 years should they get there, and they're in a record 46th semi-final. Saints had a bit of a run where they won three in a row, but then since 2008 they haven't been back to Wembley. So recent form in the Challenge Cup, it's just something that Leeds are really up for all the time.
It is, and they've got the players, you know, they're used to being there, as you've said, you know, they've done it many times in recent years. But the other thing is they've got a couple of players, you know, the two sort of experienced stalwarts of the team, Peacock and Sinfield. This is going to be their last ever Challenge Cup final. They will not want to go out with a defeat, and you know, that's added motivation for those guys as well. So I think with the experience that they have, yeah, I would be leaning towards Leeds, as you say. We'll have a look at the prices now and sort of pick out a few bets. But yeah, I would agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah, let's do that then. I like the look of Leeds minus two on the handicap. I don't think it's big enough at 10 to 11. What kind of margin would you be looking at here, or any other kind of bets that you like in there?
I've picked out a few. I mean, I don't think the Leeds minus two is a million miles away on neutral terms. You know, there's a case for being four. So if you're having a bet on the handicap, I think Leeds probably is the way to go at that minus two. Just as we've said, looking at the margin of the two victories that Leeds have put over Saints so far this season, really, the minus two would seem to make some sense, especially with Leeds being at full strength. Couple more bets that I like in the game are these. Basically, Leeds, I think in Challenge Cup semi-finals or any knockout football, I think Leeds are always pretty keen to get some points on the board. And I quite fancy the Leeds penalty to be the first scoring play of the game at 9-1, for two reasons, really. One is that, as I've said, if Leeds were to be awarded a penalty in the Saints' half of the field early on, I think Sinfield would have no hesitation in pointing to the sticks and taking the two, just to get two on the board. And at 9-1, that represents quite a nice price for me. The other thing about it is I think that Saints, as I've mentioned before, I think if Saints are going to do anything in the game, the forwards will be really looking to get on top early and be quite aggressive and in the faces of the Leeds players. And that could lead to Leeds being awarded an early penalty, to be honest, because Saints will just want to stamp their authority early on. So for those reasons, I quite like that 9-1 for Leeds to take a penalty. I think if you looked historically back through playoff matches, cup matches, you'd probably find that Leeds do elect to take the points early on, probably more than some of the other teams in the comp. So I quite like the 9-1 there.
Yeah, I like where you're coming from there as well, because the tension and the nerves in a semi-final, just to edge in front, gives you that, settles you down a bit, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the points quote is relatively low in the game. It's only in sort of the low 40s, which is, yeah, you know, if this was a Super League game, it'd probably up towards 50. So the points, the logic behind where the points quote is that points will be at a premium in the game. And any semi-final, if you offered a team a two-point win at the end, they would take it to get to Wembley. So yeah, they'll be looking to get some on the board early. So I quite like, for those punters who like the sort of prices a little bit bigger for a bit of an interest in the game, I quite like that 9-1.
Yeah, nice price. The dozen winning margins is a market we talk about quite a lot. I can't see Leeds running away with this, with it being I can't see them running away with it being a semi-final. 1-12 or 15-8 is the winning margin. I quite like the look of that as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that at all, to be honest. You know, you don't see very many semi-finals won by big margins, and Saints will throw everything in at the game. So the 1-12 is probably the way to go for Leeds if you fancy Leeds to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously on the flip side, anybody who fancies Saints, I'd go with the same bracket, because they're not going to run away with that either. It's going to be tight, isn't it? It's going to be a great game as well. Yeah. Any other bets that you like the look of in there?
Yeah, a couple more. I mean, I always like the man of the match market. That's one of my favourites. And you know, a lot depends on obviously who has a good game on the night, but also there's a little bit of emotion behind the decision sometimes, I think, as well. So there are two that stand out for me. You probably know what I'm going to say, but the last two, the two guys playing the last ever Challenge Cup semi-final, Sinfield 8-1. I think if Leeds are going to win, it might be on the back of a good Kevin Sinfield kicking game and just dictating terms with the boot a little bit. So 8-1 there is quite a nice price. But even better than that, a little bit more speculative. I have a feeling that, as I've mentioned there, Saints, if they're going to challenge Leeds, will have to do so up front. And Leeds will have to win the forward battle or certainly match Saints up front if they're going to do that. And if they're going to do that, Jamie Peacock's going to have a big game, and he likes to play big minutes as well. He'll leave everything out on the pitch tonight, and he'll play big minutes. And 20-1 for Peacock to win man of the match. There might be a little bit of emotion behind the decision as well, whoever's awarding it. So I think you could do a lot worse. You could probably back worse 20-1 shots than Jamie Peacock to win man of the match tonight, in my opinion.
Yeah, and given that he's had a few stints on the Super League show on the BBC, they might be slightly leaning to. I saw John Wilkin get a man of the match when he probably didn't deserve it on the BBC the other week. So
yeah, it won't do him any harm, that will
no,
it?
So, won't.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Luke Walsh in the man of the match market because he was great before he got his leg injury. He's building back up now. He's had a few really good performances. You can see him pulling the strings in the St. Helens team the way that Kevin Zinfeld does for Leeds.
Yeah.
If he really steps up this evening, he could be the game changer for Saints.
Could be, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it sort of depends who you fancy to win the match because it's very rare for the winner of man of the match to come from the losing side. So if you are leaning towards Saints, you probably could do a lot worse than Walsh. At a much bigger price, obviously, than Saints are to win the game. He will have to have a good game for Saints to win, I would imagine. So I wouldn't put you off if you're leaning on that side for the game.
Yeah. Let's get some best bets and let's summarise. Who would you be backing on Friday evening?
Yeah, so if I was having a handicap bet, I don't think it's the best bet of the match, but I would say Leeds -2 if you're leaning towards a handicap bet. And then the other two that I've mentioned there, yeah, Leeds penalty to be the first scoring play at 9-1. And then man of the match, throw a couple of darts at Kevin Sinfield at 8-1 and Jamie Peacock at 20s.
Good stuff. Let's move on to the second of the semi-finals. Then this is at Saturday at 12:45. It's at Headingley as Hull KR take on Warrington. Warrington 2-7 in the betting. The draw 25-1. Hull KR are 5-2. Warrington -10 on the handicap is 10-11. The tie is 16s and Hull KR plus those 10. Also 10-11. It's 35 years since the last Challenge Cup success for Hull KR. They beat Hull FC in that final, so that was a pretty good day for them. Their last visit to Wembley, was in 1986. You look at Warrington's recent record in the Challenge Cup, though. They've got 3 cup wins in the past 6 years and numerous semi-final appearances. Similar to the way I was talking about Leeds in the last game, Warrington's Challenge Cup experience must come into this.
I think it will, without a doubt. I mean, if you look at the recent record in the Cup under Tony Smith particularly, he seems to be able to manage this team to win those big games, in the Cup at least, not so much in the latter stages of Super League, but certainly the Cup's been very kind to Smith and Warrington in the last sort of 5 or 6 years. So, their experience definitely will count. I mean, it could go one of two ways for Hull KR. You know, they're here, they haven't been here for a long time in a semi-final situation. They could either be like a rabbit in the headlights and maybe freeze a little bit, or they could throw caution to the wind and, as underdogs, be sort of a dangerous proposition for Warrington. So it really, a lot depends on how Hull KR react to the situation, I think.
Yeah, good news for Hull KR as well is that Albert Kelly's back for them. They're going to have a new halfback pairing, really, aren't they? Because Dane Crisham, who's a new player for Hull KR, will play alongside him. Be interesting to see how they get on because Albert Kelly's one of the more exciting players in the Super League at the moment.
Absolutely huge. I mean, if Kelly hadn't made the game, you know, I think you could have written off Hull KR's chances there and there. It would have been lovely to have Albert Kelly and Terry Campese teaming up in the match. You know, that would have been superb to see and it really would have given Warrington a proper test. I still think they will be tested. When the draw was made, Hull KR were flying and I did think they might be able to give Warrington a real fright in this match, but in the few weeks since the quarterfinals, Warrington have grown from strength to strength, whereas Hull KR have been struggling a little bit. If the game had been played about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'd have fancied Rovers probably more than I do now. I still think they'll give Warrington a reasonable test, but as we've mentioned, I think Warrington's experience will probably see them through in the end.
Yeah, Warrington were very impressive against Castleford last week. The way they beat them suggests that they're hitting form at the right time. I suppose the only concern, or one of the concerns for Warrington, is that Ben Westwood's been banned for a couple of games.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the leaders of the team up front, and I think he'll be badly missed. He's a really influential player, probably still a little bit underrated in certain quarters, actually. But it's a bad loss, but I think they've probably got enough behind them to just overcome that.
All right, you think Hull KR will give Warrington a game then? Do they keep within the handicap or how do you see it going?
If I was looking to have it, as I said, a bit like the Leeds game really in terms of the handicap, I don't think it's a million miles away from the mark, but if I was having a handicap bet, I probably would side with Hull KR just because in a semi-final situation, I think if you offer any team any kind of win, no matter what the margin, they will take it. So for me, I always like the double figure starts in a cup semi-final. So I would probably edge with Hull KR on the handicap, yeah, the plus 10. The way I see the game panning out is I think Hull KR will throw everything at Warrington early on. I think they'll know that to win the game they'll need to get in front early and hopefully maintain that lead. The longer the game goes on, Warrington will probably be a fitter, more experienced team and probably will get stronger. So Hull KR's best chances to sort of get out of the traps early and really sort of get some points on the board early. So I've got a couple of bets kind of based on that mentality. Whether it'll be right or not, I don't know. But yeah, that's where I'm coming from with my bets. I think they'll stay within the 10, hopefully, for the handicap backers, yeah.
Okay, let's get into those other bets then. Yeah. Would the double result be something you'd look at then? Hull KR to win the first half, Warrington to go on to win the match?
Yep, a couple of angles there possibly. Yeah, the 11-2, Hull KR half-time, Warrington full-time. I wouldn't put anyone off that one. I think Hull KR, as I said, their best chance is to start well. So they'll be looking to do that. But Warrington probably to exert the superiority later on in the game. So yeah, the 11-2 is reasonable, I would think, there.
Any other bets that you like the look of here?
In the tri-scorer market, I'd probably be looking at someone, as I've meant, just to try and be consistent with my other way of thinking behind the game, probably one of the Hull KR players to maybe get on the board first, someone like Ken Seo, who's back in the team, 14 tries this season, strong player on the wing foot, and has been a pretty good addition for them this season. So 10-1, Ken Seo, first tri-scorer. I think that's a reasonable bet. But yeah, we've talked about the double result and the handicap. There's one other bet that I quite like in the man of the match market. I mean, look, today, I mean, I quite like the look of Myler. He seems to be playing a bit better recently. And obviously, we know he's leaving at the end of this season. So this will be his last Challenge Cup for Warrington anyway. For me, he's probably short enough in the betting. Is he 6-1 there? Yeah, 6-1 for the man of the match market. But the one that I like at a bigger price, you'd probably gather by now, I quite like the more speculative big prices sometimes in these markets, is someone like Chris Hill at 25-1. And the reason that I like that bet is that I think that he'll take a bit more of a leadership role for Warrington in the absence of Westwood. He plays big minutes up front again. And he's everywhere in the game. He's always sort of one of the key men in the Warrington pack. He's diving on loose balls. He's making breaks. He's making last-ditch tackles. He's very influential. And, I think if Warrington win a close game and none of the backs kind of really run the show, I think you could do worse than back someone like Chris Hill at 25-1 to get the Man of the Match award.
Right, nice big price there then. Any try scorers stand out to you here? There's probably a host of them that you could put up. One that I've been looking at in recent weeks is Ben Curry for Warrington, because he remains odds against every week, which if you look at half of the betting in there, not many of them are. 5-4 to score any time. He's in fantastic form.
Yeah, fantastic. He'll be one of the players of the season.
Sorry, 6-4. I've done myself an injustice.
Yeah, no, take the 6-4. Yeah, I wouldn't put you off that at all. He's been very, very impressive this season, hasn't he? He's one to watch. I mean, if you're looking at the price of the other outside backs, he probably is one that stands out in terms of value compared to the rest. So, yeah, I wouldn't put you off that one at all.
Same again, then. Let's have some best bets. Let's have a little summary of the other semi-final.
Okay, so the other semi-final on the handicap, I'd probably lean towards Hull KR +10. I think they'll probably keep the game relatively close, and with it being a semi-final, throw everything at Warrington. So I think they should be able to stay within 10 points. Having said that, I think Warrington will probably prevail and win the game. So backing up that train of thought, Hull KR half-time, Warrington full-time, which is 11-2, that would appeal. And then looking at some of the other try-scorer markets, we've mentioned Ben Curry there for Warrington, but I like Ken Seo or even Mantellato at 10-1 on the other wing. You know, you can make your choice there. Both scored a similar number this season and have been pretty good additions to the squad. So 10-1, either of those two for first try-scorer would be worth looking at, I would say. And then finally, one at a big price for man of the match, Warrington's Chris Hill, the big prop, 25-1.
Superb work. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit now and say, of both games, what will be your best bet for the weekend?
Best bet of the weekend? Well, it sounds... I would probably lean towards Leeds on the handicap at that -2, if you can get it. I don't know, you know, when the punters will be listening to this, but I think there'll be good money for Leeds in the lead-up to kick-off. So if you want to back Leeds, I think you're probably best off doing it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, get on early. Good stuff. Well, it's been a pleasure, Mark. Good luck and enjoy it this weekend.
Thanks very much, Mark. Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.